Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne.
And I'm Kendra, and you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. We're so glad to have you. For anyone who's new, this is a show for couples struggling with infertility or miscarriage or maybe just infant or child loss, or you're going through adoption, and the list keeps growing because there's so many unique ways that God is building families and working. If you are trusting God to build your family, well, this show is for you, and that's we're right. Glad you're here.
That's right. Well, and a topic that we haven't really covered yet is NICU.
Yes.
A NICU stay, and we have a very, very special guest. Mm-hmm. She has been on the show a long, long time ago. She was probably one of our first guests.
Mm-hmm. And just a quick recap, y'all. This mama, she's an amazing writer and so articulate, yes. But she shared with us on that episode about having a honeymoon baby that unfortunately very soon went to be with Jesus and kind of that instant loss and what that was like. But a lot of people who don't know her full story don't know that she has had 3 NICU visits stays with God has gone on to build her family, and we're going to go into what all of that is like. Because, you know, if you're like me, I remember, Lauren, hearing that you're pregnant again and again, and I'm like, in the early times, I was
again
like...
Again and again and again.
I got to babysit Lauren, like... That is,
so
I'm
Lauren
showing
goes
my
way
age.
Back here. At
yes.
AFA, okay.
She is the infamous J.J. Jasper's daughter.
Oh, my goodness.
And amazing. And I remember hearing and just being so excited for you, first of all, for all the phases of life. I could never want ill for you. But, you know, there's that feeling of like, oh, these young mamas just popping out these babies. Like, what is my deal? Like, get with it, Kendra Knox, you know. But I didn't know that you'd had that early loss. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine. Mm-hmm. All that you have gone through. So I just want to preface the show with this thought. Like, whatever phase you're in, even, some people might be hearing this and thinking, well, I wouldn't mind a NICU visit if it meant I had a baby. Mm. Like, I just want a baby to hold. You do not know until you have been walked in somebody's shoes what that's like. And so we want to walk with you, Lauren, and just hear the heartache of what you've gone through and how we can support you and how we can support other mamas who are going through it.
Well, and currently, we'll introduce you in just a second, Lauren, obviously. but you're currently sitting in the NICU right now as we're recording this.
Right now. I'm in the family room.
Right. So, and we actually only have you for about 30 minutes. So, all right. So, Lauren, do you want to introduce yourself and your family, what that looks like right now, and then we'll get into the show.
Yeah. And let me warn you guys, Kendra called me articulate, and there's something about a NICU stay that will suck all of the articulation right out of your
We get it, sis.
So just forgive me in advance if I'm stumbling around on things or, you know, my brain fails me. But
we signed up for the raw and real Lauren
today. Yes, we did.
Well, that's all I can be. So I'm Lauren Bragg. My dad is J.J. Jasper. I am the wife of a police officer, Harrison. Love of my life. We've been together for going on 8 years now, married for almost 5, and we have 3 little boys. Like Anne said, I'm coming to you live and in stereo from the NICU with our last little guy who we just had on May the 9th at 31 weeks. So
31 weeks. Now, you'd had previous NICU stays with your others, but this is by far the earliest. How early did you have your other boys?
Right. So we had Rip at 36 weeks. We had Jack Cooper at 35 weeks. He was up here for 3 days. And then we had, let me think, we're going on day, today's day 22 up here. with Archie. So, well, he's only 2 weeks old, 2 weeks and some change, but I was actually hospitalized before I had him indefinitely. So for me, I've been here for 21 days, 22 days.
For those that don't know, like preeclampsia, can you explain like what it was that caused you for all three pregnancies to have early babies?
Yeah. So if you've ever had preeclampsia or if you know anything about preeclampsia, or maybe you don't, preeclampsia is something that there's not just a ton of information about on the medical side of things. And the only cure for it is delivery. Mm-hmm. So basically your placenta is it's sick the best way to say it is that it's sick and that it causes your kidneys to spill protein into your bloodstream. And then there are other medical things that go hand in hand with preeclampsia. Mm-hmm. So like for me, high blood pressure is also a marker for preeclampsia. And when I was admitted, my blood pressure was 175 over 95, I believe.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And then I had like 600 milligrams of protein in my urine. And then I had just wrapped my brain around a really long hospital stay. I was going to be here for 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. I got admitted at 31 weeks. And the goal was 37 weeks. And I had just wrapped my brain around, okay, Lord, I'm here. I'm in this hospital room. I'm going to be here for, it seems like, the long haul. Mm-hmm. And then on that Thursday, so preeclampsia also causes headaches. Mm. And there's a very specific headache that it's kind of in your temples and in the front of your head. And it can't be touched by Tylenol or any, you know, pain reliever. And so they tried everything under the sun to try to get my headache to go away. And it didn't. And it got pretty scary there at the very end.
Okay. You had a very specific thing that you told me about this headache. What did you say about your teeth?
Yeah. So it was crazy. So I woke up and I had tried to lay down and take a nap to try to sleep it off. And instead of waking up and it'd be better, I woke up and it was almost like this headache was so intense and there was so much pressure in my head that it felt like my teeth were going to bust out of my face. Like, I mean, it was the craziest feeling. And things moved pretty quick after that. I tried my very best to sleep it off or, you know, try all the medicine they could give me to, you know, relieve the pain, and nothing was working. And so the doctor on call came in and said, I think it's baby day. I think it's time to roll back to the OR. And that was a very, it was a defeating moment, you know, for me, because I had just wrapped my brain around being in the hospital for X amount of weeks. And I was bound and determined to keep this baby cooking. Mm-hmm. And that's just not what the Lord had for us. So it's been wild.
Does the enemy, I don't know, and if this is not relatable, that's fine, but does the enemy make you feel like I'm failing at my job of getting?
Oh my goodness. Does he ever? That is his number one, for me at least, dealing with preeclampsia. And I bet you that anybody dealing with preterm labor could probably relate to this, that is the number one point of attack from the enemy. Is that you failed your baby, your body couldn't keep your baby safe. You know, haha, I gotcha. Yeah. Now you're sitting up here in this NICU, you know, and he tried to use it as a point of, you know, you failed, he won. Mm. And he just tries to beat you over the head with that. And it's something that I wish that I could tell you that I have overcome it. Mm-hmm. But it is something that the Lord is holding my hand and walking with me in the opposite direction of that lie from the devil. And every day, you know, I have to get up and I have to say, okay, Lord, I accept your new mercies. And I begin to have to take those thoughts captive, mm-hmm. And really lean into the Lord, and believe that what he says of me is true and what the devil says of me is a lie. And with preeclampsia, you know, your baby is safer out here than mm-hmm. he is on the inside. Mm-hmm. And that is something that that goes, you know, hand in hand with that lie from the devil is that, well, why is my baby safer out here than he is on the inside? Why can't I just do my job? Why couldn't I, you know, as his mommy, you know, keep his little body safe? But that's just a lie from the devil. And I'm so grateful for our medical team who stepped in and intervened and didn't waste a second. And as hard as this NICU journey is, I've got a thriving 31-weeker. He's 34 weeks today in the room over from me. He's beautiful. His little body is perfect in every way. He's hitting his milestones. And you know what? At the end of the day, you know, when those lies start to creep in, I got to know my baby a little bit longer, that's you know, right. And that's something sweet. And so that's something that I try and replace, you know, when the enemy starts to whisper those things. I'm like, nope, you hush your mouth. You know, I'm getting to love on my baby for a few weeks longer, you know, so you've kind of got to just change your mindset and shift your mindset to really take those thoughts captive and to replace lies with truth.
Yeah, for sure. Lauren, do you mind sharing, you know, we talked about you getting discharged from the hospital and him not getting discharged. And I know that was very, very hard for you. Do you mind walking us through that? Because every NICU mama is going to experience that.
For sure. Yeah, and this is one of those moments where I don't feel like I'm going to be very articulate because it's just is what it is. It's really hard. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs an Ann in their life. Ann is someone that the Lord, you know, has really grown our friendship. And she's someone that I consider one of my closest friends. And as anyone who has listened to the show knows, Ann, you know, has left the hospital without a baby. And she was the mama that was discharged without a baby. And so she really loved on me, and because of you, Ann, the Lord really loved on me and loved on my heart. But leaving the hospital without your baby has got to be one of the cruelest, most unnatural things. And it's something that I'm still processing, even though we've been here. Let's see, he's 2 weeks and some change. He'll be 3 weeks on Thursday, and I'm still processing it. That day was so, it felt just very surreal, and it felt like, okay, I can wake up now. You know, someone please wake me up from this nightmare, you know. And forgive me if I get a little emotional. You know, leaving with an empty car seat is something that I wouldn't wish on, you know, my worst enemy. It's something that is just, like I said, it's unnatural, and it's your body aches. You know, physically, it's not just an emotional thing. Your body aches for your baby. And as a NICU mom, you know, it's not just you're leaving without your baby. You're leaving your baby here in the NICU to be taken care of by someone else, you know, and there's someone else who's, you know, bonding with your baby. There's someone else giving your baby their food. There's someone else changing their sweet little diaper. And it makes you feel helpless. You know, because those are things that I'm supposed to be doing. You know, I'm his mommy, and it's, yeah, it's something that I'm still processing and working through. It's a pain like I can't really explain. You know, and like I said, I don't have good words for it. I don't feel very articulate when it comes to that part because it's still something that I'm leaning on the Lord and working through, because it really is, you know, when people think of grief, they think of loss. And I didn't necessarily lose anything physical. My baby is still alive. Thank you, Jesus. But I did lose the moments that you're supposed to have after you have a baby. You know, their siblings are supposed to be able to come in their sweet little big brother or big sister outfits and take pictures. And there's supposed to be these sweet moments of family time that you lose, totally lose. And so when my boys meet their baby brother, he's going to be well over a month old, you know? And so it's something that the Lord really, for me, I've had to really lean into the Lord and say, okay, Jesus, I don't have a pretty prayer to pray right now. I'm hurting, and you know my heart, and I'm going to need you to sustain me. Mm-hmm. And there, you know, and I'm so grateful that we serve a God who prefers us to pray that way.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, right. Scripture says, don't come to me with all that fluffy mess. You know, I want you as you are, the raw and mm-hmm. real. And I'm just really grateful. I'm really grateful for mm-hmm. for a God who that's how he wants us to meet him. So
I'm really proud of you.
I hope that answers your question.
That was great.
So
I'm proud of you, Lauren, for grieving the loss of those moments, because it would be really easy to sweep that under the rug and just say, well, at least he's alive. Yeah. But there is a lot mm-hmm. that you did lose, you know, and even mm-hmm. in just the medical immediate, like not being able to easily hold your baby. Like when you have these expectations aren't met, there's so much sense of loss.
Yeah.
And no matter what stage of life that you're in, we've had a lot of people mm-hmm. on the show that have talked about adoption. And with adoption, mm-hmm. You know, you don't get to have the 9 months of, you know, forming that bond, and you miss out on those moments. You know, for me going through fertility treatments, I lost on the getting to tell my husband that we're pregnant. And that's a moment that I grieve. We all have these little moments that we grieve, because our stories are all so different, there's also these little moments of God's grace that you're going to have that nobody else will ever have, of the way that he sustained you during this time. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to ask you if there's anything specific that people have done, or any moments where you sensed, even in the middle of all of this, I knew God was with me.
Yeah. So a couple of nights ago, we had bad weather here in Tupelo, and I didn't want to leave him up at the hospital by himself, so I came and I stayed the night with him, and we had a little, you know, spend the night party, me and him. And
love it.
But I had to leave early in the morning. I'll save you from the long story, but I had to leave around 5 o'clock in the morning, so it was still dark, and we were still under a tornado watch, and the lightning was just absolutely cracking the sky wide open. And as a mama, I was, you know, just praying, Lord, I have to leave, and I need you, as you do, as I know you're already doing, but I need you to protect my baby in ways that I can't protect mm-hmm. him, you know. And and I looked up at the sky, and as I said amen, the sky just cracked with lightning, and the Lord said to me, Lauren, I put the lightning in the sky. Mm. Don't you know that I'm with your boy?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, oh my goodness, I'm just so in awe of all the things that the Lord is teaching us and teaching our family and teaching me about myself, you know. And he's just, I'll say this, he is faithful. To maybe the NICU mama who's walking, maybe this is day one for her. Maybe this is the first couple of days that she's in the NICU. The Lord is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
He will sustain you.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to let him.
Mm.
And that is something that I have struggled with, because I am hard-headed and I'm strong-willed and all of those things. And I want to be my baby's everything, and I can't be that for him right now. I can step in, you know, for 8 hours a day. I can stay the night with him. But as far as, you know, I'm not a nurse. I'm not a doctor. You know, he's hooked to all these cords and, you know, other things that are sustaining him. And, you know, I feel less than as a mom, but that's not true.
No.
But you've got to allow the Lord to sustain you in those moments, and you've got to let him in. You've got to stop white knuckling this situation, and you've got to open your hand and say, okay, Lord, I surrender it to you, because if not, you're going to drive yourself crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're still a full-time wife, full-time mama, and now a NICU mama.
And I'm sure the enemy is making you feel guilty no matter where you are. Like,
that's the thing. You don't know where to be. If you've got babies at home, you don't know where to be, because when you're here, you want to be there. When you're there, you want to be here.
Mm.
And
you're supposed to be together.
Right. And yeah, and this is, like I said, I can't stress how unnatural this whole thing feels.
Well, and your boys, what are their ages?
3 and 2.
Yeah. So like they don't understand mama's doing what she needs to be, you know.
How are you practically, like, do you have family come in to watch? Because hubby's like, that's a lot on hubby.
So, yeah. So I cannot say thank you to my mom enough and my husband, you know, because as bad as he wants to be up here with the baby, he knows, you know, practically he can't feed him. You know, he can't, you know, he can just love on him. But my mama and my husband are rotating every couple of days and they have the boys. And it's really hard, you know, getting pictures from the boys' day and not being there with them. But I'm so grateful, you know, for the support system that we have. And then, like, I can't say thank you enough to you guys. I mean, Kendra is feeding our family tonight. What in the world? She's the best. Anne has come up here and sat with me. And when I was on my hospital stay, she came and sat with me. And it's just, you know, you'll never forget one day when the light breaks at the end of the tunnel. You'll never forget in a light what someone did for you in the dark. And so I'm so grateful.
That's so true.
For you guys and for my family.
Well, sis, what's your... you go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'll end with this because I know I'm just, you know, y'all have to give me a time limit because, you know, I'll just talk and talk. But, and I got a baby to go feed at 2:30. But I will say this. For the mama who's just walking into this, it is normal, going back to grief, it's normal to grieve just about everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I was shaving my legs this week and I got really emotional because my belly wasn't in the way anymore, you know, and it still should be in the way because he was born 9 weeks early and I would only be 34 weeks pregnant today.
Wow.
Just things like that, things that you would never even think of, walking past a mirror and seeing your belly deflated, you know, there's no big bump in the way anymore, or really anything. It's normal to grieve those things, and it's okay. It is really okay to, you know, the Lord gave us emotions and feelings for a reason. He wants us to feel them and walk and wade through them as long as we are clinging to him in the process. You know, it is 100% normal to grieve those things. And even if they wouldn't make sense to someone else, they make sense to you and to your heart. Mm-hmm. And you're not weird. You're not crazy. This is a very traumatic time and experience for every reason, being away from your kids, being away from your husband, being out of normalcy, you know, for every reason. It's a wild time. And so just pace yourself, allow yourself to feel things and lean into the Lord.
Well, tell us for just a minute, like, about your awesome fighter, Archie. Like, what milestones has he hit and what's left before you can go home? How long?
He's so cute.
he was actually big for his gestational age. He was born at 4 pounds, 8 ounces, which I guess is, I don't know if, I mean, you guys know my husband. He's a big old guy.
So he's 17 inches long. 17 inches.
At 31 weeks.
I cannot get over that.
He's so tiny, but he's actually pretty big for his age. But anyway, he is, you know, guys, if we've got to be here, I'm so grateful that we do have a healthy little guy. He's so healthy, and he is hitting all of his milestones. So a lot of the times they won't start allowing him to nurse until 34 weeks, I think, or that's how they do it here. This guy started nursing at 33 weeks.
What?
He's a champ. He loves it. They weaned him off of caffeine yesterday, which is something they do to help with little bradycardia episodes, which is totally normal for preemies. And they start to grow out of around 34, 35 weeks. And so they weaned him off of his caffeine yesterday. He hasn't had any bradycardia episodes.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. So he's really, I mean, for where we are, you know, and, you know, we're doing life in this very sterile place that feels not like home at all. But for where we are and for the situation that we're in, we're so blessed. And we're so grateful, and we'll never stop singing, you know, the Lord's praises. But this kid is so singing cute. He is a fighter. I mean, he's ready to go home, clearly, because he's, you know, doing all the things that he has to check off his list to go home. So, we're grateful.
Well, Lauren, I know you have a feeding coming up. We are so grateful for you taking this time to come share with us in the middle of everything that you have going on. So,
well, I love you guys, and I'm grateful that you entrusted me to love on my fellow NICU mamas. So,
well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing. And give Archie some love for us, okay?
Sure.
You know I will.
All right. Talk to you later, friend.
Well, okay. And I just got to say, one thing that keeps coming to my mind is the theme of Hannah's heart. We picked it because Hannah gave her son to the Lord. She said, Lord, she gave me son, I'm going to give him to you. Like, what a beautiful thing to see Lauren doing right now. Like, yeah. Lord, Archie's yours. And, you know, even just seeing in the lightning, God saying, he's my child. Like, I'm going to take care of him. That is the sovereign God that we serve.
Oh, for sure. And it's something as a mama that she called it white knuckles, you know,
yes.
trying to hold on to. Mm-hmm. But we do have to remember that the Lord, these babies are his before they're ours.
Amen.
And he's always going to love them more than we could even comprehend. Mm-hmm. So if you enjoyed this episode, I'm so glad that you did. We love you, our NICU mamas that might be listening, and we hope to see you again next week.